Blog Talk Radio.
There's no earthly way of knowing
it's singing.
Which direction we are going. There's no knowing where we're rowing, or which way the river's flowing. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Is a hurricane a-blowing? Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
Welcome to Tipping Point. I am Stephen Platinum, joined as always by Miss Rachel and Larry Goodman. Larry has put his bird away. I have put my children away. And Miss Rachel has put her dog away. So they will not be joining us for today's broadcast, hopefully. Our guests are a couple of folks that have to do with this controversy that's come up about the Tennessee wrestling scene. We're going to actually bring them on in just a few minutes. And LaFisto was supposed to be a guest, but unfortunately she was not able to call during this time or to record an interview. So this Saturday, when she wrestles Miss Rachel, I am actually going to be there, Miss Rachel. I'm going to be there to watch you face off against LaFisto, and we're going to record an interview with her right after the match, actually. So LaFisto will be on next week, along with Davey Richards, who's finally got time in his schedule to do an interview with us. So that's going to be a really great show. But this is going to be a great show. Now, this weekend, wrestling-wise, I didn't do anything. I didn't go to any shows. I, of course, waited with bated breath to hear about the PCW show, but I was not at a show. But obviously, the two of you were. Maybe we'll start with you, Larry. Larry, tell us about Southern Fried.
A long one, 4 hours long. A great main event. It took a long time to get there. You know, if you look on the Southern Fried fan club page, I made a lot more friends out there again this week from some of the comments there. But I'd say a good show, not as good as the last show out there. But I think one of the stories is that attendance continues to be very good around the state. I mean, Charles at Southern Fried had almost 400 people. Peach State had 228. And I understand, Miss Rachel, a packed house in Porterdale as well.
It was. It was standing room only, which was fantastic and loud, which we always love.
Now, Rachel, you were at PCW. Walk us through, if you could, because I saw the picture. It was Brian Kane. Correct me if I'm wrong, it was Brian Kane in the main event against the Jagged Edge in a street fight, that actually went out to the street. I got to admit, I usually hate that when I go to shows and guys fight all over the building and they fight out of the building. It's usually ridiculous because the crowd doesn't go and watch it, so it always seemed perfectly ridiculous to me, but that was not the case on Saturday, was it?
It was not, and, you know, at the very beginning of the show, Tim, who owns the building, made a very big deal about it's a street fight, it could go anywhere, you know, just kind of prepping the crowd, like you may want to get up and follow people around. So, and it was Brian Kane and the Jagged Edge, and Brian Kane's just kind of come out of nowhere, and he's doing a phenomenal job. For the people that were there, he did two moonsaults, so that
Ooh.
Was... And I don't know if a lot of people have seen him. He's a short guy, but he's a little bigger. So you wouldn't think that he'd be able to do a moonsault just looking at him. But, I mean, he gets up there. It's great. So, I mean, it was just...
He's kind of the photo negative of Shane Marks. And in
but,
fact, that's gonna be the main event, right? Brian Kane beat. How did Brian beat Jagged Edge? Did you see?
It was with the moonsault. Yeah, it was a match for the number one contender spot. Just brutal the whole time. Chair, stretcher. They did go outside near the parking lot, and people were up and running to follow them and just surrounding them like some schoolyard brawl in grade school. I mean, just yelling and cheering, and I'm glad no one got hurt because it was everywhere, but oh, they were excited for it.
I saw the picture that I saw, I guess it was a meme that Brian Kane's wife made, and it was Brian in midair, mid-moonsault, and Jagged Edge was tied down to a stretcher, and it said man up next to Brian Kane and man down next to Jagged Edge. Jagged Edge, of course, pulling double duty and then going on and being in the main event at SFCW at Southern Fried. Larry, you had mentioned that crowds have been up for just about everybody. Somebody contacted me today and said something interesting for the 28th of February, which will be, you know, that will be Anarchy's second show of the month. They have one this Saturday, but on the 14th, on Valentine's Day, and then they'll have one on the 28th. On the 28th in Cornelia as well, another promotion is running. It's a promotion out of the Carolinas, and they're having a bunch of names. Like, they have Steiner. I can't remember, but there were, like, three or four kind of, like, top names from kind of the Attitude era. But there was, like, Rick Steiner and a couple other, like, WCW guys on this card in Cornelia on the 28th. Do you think that's going to hurt Anarchy and Charles Anschultz, who so far has been the magic man as far as increasing the draw of Anarchy and Southern Fried? Do you think they're going to take a hit on the 28th?
I tend to think not much. I think their regulars will turn out, particularly with you know, the new blood coming into Anarchy with Charles and so forth. I have a feeling it won't hurt him that much, really.
Cool. Well, do we have our guests on the line, Larry?
Well, that'd probably be a good thing to find out. While I'm checking on that, I did want to touch on Peach State for just a second.
Yeah,
The way they're adding some interesting dimension to Jimmy Rave's character, it looks like possibly a babyface turn. Possibly, we shall see how that plays out. And they've also the timekeeper. Brooklyn got involved, spraying Tyson Dean's bottle of essence into Swinger's eyes, and she's one to watch. A very hot-looking young lady. It'll be interesting to see how she gets involved up there, or over there, to the west.
That was when I was looking at the Peach State results. One thing that struck me, and they've been doing it for a while, is it was only a five-match card. I think that's the format that they're – it's interesting how everybody's doing things their own way. Peach State, the real simple five-match card, drawing a crowd with it. Southern Fried, everybody and their mother seems to be on that card. I mean, the huge locker room, tons of matches, and, you know, they're drawing crowds as well. So there is no magic formula. It's like everybody's kind of doing it their own way, and it's definitely a good time in Georgia wrestling.
We are now joined by both of our guests, and I'll introduce one of them. I believe they're both on the line now. This gentleman is out of Knoxville, works for Fox 43 up there, and was the editor of the Southeastern Championship Wrestling Show under David Marquez's leadership. Welcome to the show, Doug Wood. Are you on the line, Doug?
Yeah, hello. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Great to have you on, Doug. And I guess I'll introduce Ace Rockwell. Ace Rockwell, of course, is well known to Georgia fans, but also fans of the Tennessee area, the Carolinas. I always call Ace Rockwell the one that got away, the one guy that I was always desperate to book at PCW, never got to do it. Just a phenomenal talent, and anybody who's anybody in the Southeast knows him. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Mr. Ace Rockwell. Are you there, Ace?
I am here. And no, it's not your fault. It's another person's fault in particular.
Well, Doug and Ace, I'll go ahead and start. Doug and Ace, thank you for being on. Now, this has been going on for a couple of weeks. sort of Larry wrote an article about some of the controversy that had come up with promotion in Tennessee. Doug, I think maybe you're the you contacted me after our interview last week with Brian Logan, and
right.
You said you there's things that you wanted to clarify and that kind of thing. I would say just go for it. What did you want to say? Why did you feel compelled to write me?
Well, in the business, I mean, I've been in video production for going on 23 years. This is my first, this is my first time dealing with wrestling as far as the production goes. One thing I really needed to clear up is the difference between why I have SECW's footage and why the other gentleman, Brian Logan, has his. Brian, in all technicality, because I've spoken with a lot of people, Raycom is our ownership company. They own several television stations around the country. With our logo all over the walls at the shoot, and the fact that we have the releases from all the wrestlers, that makes it it makes it a very bad idea for Mr. Logan to try to post these matches and make money off of them. The second thing is he was paid for shooting that video. He said it on the last week's podcast. He was paid $200 to shoot and $200 for the T-shirts that he brought. Since he was paid for the video, that video belongs to Chris Lash. The difference between he and I is Mr. Marquez didn't pay me for almost 3.5 months. The contract, verbal contract, whatever we had, kind of died when I called and made it clear that if I didn't get paid by that Friday, there would be no show. And that was right after the November taping. So that's why I have that video. Now, on Facebook, I sent you a couple of links. One is the sign-in information for a YouTube channel. And what I did is I took all that SECW footage and all the matches that I have. Now, some matches Marquez has. Because he paid for, the first month and a half. I contacted all the wrestlers that were involved with SECW and gave them the sign-in information and the password to that channel, which contains all the SECW matches that I had, and told them that they are absolutely free for them to use for their resumes. I've let Bo James use a couple of matches on his broadcast. Haven't made a dime off of it. Don't look to make a dime off of it. I want to help the guys who were supposed to be helped by this being on television. So that's the biggest difference. That's the biggest thing I wanted to clarify is the fact that Chris Lash owns that video. That's his. Brian Logan doesn't own anything. And I don't know Brian Logan. Never met him. Don't care to. He is who he is, but the thing is he doesn't own that video, and it's going to get really, really ugly if he tries to use that to make money.
I gotcha. Well, thank you. I'm sure Larry and Rachel will have questions, but Ace Rockwell, I wanted to talk to you. My question to you is, the impression I got from you is that you've got no love lost for Brian Logan or Chris Lash. Chris Lash is a guy that has been brought up a few times now by Doug. Tell us what went on there and why you were so chomping at the bit. I mean, you're kind of speaking from the perspective of the boys, or at least yourself, right?
Right. I don't want to speak for everybody because I don't know everybody that well. And I'll kind of speak on just what happened, or what was said just a second ago about the video and it being Chris Lash's. If Brian Logan can somehow sell, or Chris can somehow sell, they would be Houdini, because there's no way in the world anybody in the right mind would buy what was taped for that show.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree on that one.
My opinion is that, and I didn't know Chris Lash going into this. I met him up there. I talked to Troy Lowe multiple times. Troy Lowe was very nice and kept his word on everything that we talked about. And I'm not gonna mince words, but Chris Lash is a piece of shit, in my opinion. And that's as point blank as I can put it. I don't like the
where,
way
where
he
did,
spoke.
Where does that come from? What part did Chris Lash not live up to?
I think Chris Lash wasn't very professional. I mean, the guy was walking around in sweatpants and a T-shirt, barking at people. He was barking at people and us before we even really introduced ourselves to him. There were multiple times where he would just come in the locker room and just yell and scream. Larry was sitting right there a few times when Chris would just go off on his tyrant. And one time in particular, towards the end of the night, he's yelling at Sean Tempers, who has been around as long as I have, has done more than I have, and has done more than, a third of the guys that were there. And he was following a script that was in the locker room. And by script, I mean one of three scripts. There were three scripts given to the boys, two of which were taped up in the back locker room. The other that they were following, Tom Pritchard and Chris Lash had. So unless, you know, Sean Tempers or anyone else is a mind reader, there's no way for us to know exactly what they want us to do because there were three floating around. And I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place. I'm just trying to hit some points that really pissed me off about the whole thing. We were asked to be there at 4 p.m. on Saturday, which is earlier than what you're supposed to be at most shows. We were asked to be there at 4 p.m. because Brian Logan and Chris Lash wanted to shoot pre-tapes. Well, they had the equipment up. I kept hearing last week that they couldn't get the equipment up. They had this, they had that, they had this, they had that. I don't really see a reason as to why they couldn't shoot pre-tapes. Oh, the other excuse was none of the boys were there. The only two people that weren't there between 4 and 4:30 were the Bullets. And the reason the Bullets weren't there on time was because they were giving the wrong damn address for the place. So that's the reason they weren't there on time. There was no reason to not shoot pre-tapes. Oh, wait, there was one reason. It's because they rewrote the script three fucking times. That's why. So we're sitting there for 3.5 hours before anybody holds a talent meeting. At 7:30, Chris Lash, Tom Pritchard hold a talent meeting with and Brian Logan in there, and they kind of run down what's going to happen in the first hour or in the first taping. And that's the only taping they went by, through the one taping. And there were six of them. So to be yelled at by Chris Lash, to hear the things Brian Logan said last week, and they weren't necessarily about the boys, it's just because I've seen Chris Lash say a few things on social media. I've heard a few things that he said. That guy does not need to be anywhere near professional wrestling. Point blank. He's a guy with money, and he's a guy that likes to throw his money around, and because he has money, he thinks he can yell at people. And I wish I could go back in time and do things a little differently, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a tough guy because I'm not a tough guy, but I just don't like the way he treated certain people that night.
Doug, if I could, like you've heard what Mesa said. At one point, you agreed that the tapings were not up to snuff. What do you think? I mean, what does that mean to me? Like, does that mean that the quality of the filming wasn't good? I'm not quite sure what that means.
See, now, in all fairness, I'm going on secondhand knowledge, except for the open that Brian cut for the show. That open was, and I'm sure I'm going to catch a little bit on this one, that open was shit. Absolute, positively, unairable shit. Again,
you think nice.
It was, now, when I hear Brian talk about, you know, he did this last minute, this was thrown at him, and first off, if you don't want to do it and you're going to half-ass it, don't do it. the reason I quit on the Tuesday before the taping was I sent Chris an email saying, okay, this is, you know, I hate talking money, but we've got to talk money. When the I got the email back saying we've decided to go in another direction. You know, we're going to use another editor. 5 days before the taping, I got a little pissed off and I told them they could, you know, we'll leave that up to your imagination. But, you know, I basically told them to piss off. I didn't want anything to do with it. They asked me if I would shoot the shows. I said, well, what's your price? And they wanted to pay me $100 to shoot the show. Ain't happening. I gave them a price. They didn't want to do it. So I guess they got Brian or Logan, whatever his first name is, to shoot the show. Now, as far as Fox 43 is going, my boss, Holly Romero, went down the day before, looked it over, you know, helped them out as much as she could as far as the production end of it and how to get, you know, the best out of it. And apparently, you know, it was all Holly's fault that Brian forgot how to shoot. He blamed Chris. Now, let's get this. I don't have a personal friendship with Chris Lash. I'm kind of a personal friend with Troy, but as far as Chris goes, you know, I do the work. He pays me the money. I wouldn't defend him in court and, you know, wouldn't give him a kidney. It just seemed like it was a fuster cluck from the beginning.
Yeah.
It really did. It did not seem like it. When I was doing SECW, I would show up at about 2:00 in the afternoon. I asked the talent to be there by about 3:30. The reason being is like Ace said, we wanted to do pre-tapes, we wanted to shoot promos, and that gets that done before they have to start getting ready for their match. Typically, when I shot SECW, I was there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I left at about 11 o'clock at night. When I heard that they didn't get out of the armory until 1 o'clock in the morning, I was absolutely dumbfounded that anybody stayed. I figured the wrestlers would get pissed and leave at about 10 o'clock. Troy's a great storyteller, but neither he nor Chris have the television experience to put on a television show. And I love Troy to death. Troy is one of the nicest people I've ever been around. He knows how to tell a story, but he doesn't have a whole lot of experience with television. Chris doesn't have a whole lot of experience with television. So that show, without somebody there to hold their hand as far as production went, it was doomed before it started. It really was. And for, you know, for Brian to get a little butthurt and decide that he's going to keep all the footage that a lot of other people worked so hard to get, even if it sucked, you know, that's just not part of this business. And it makes guys like me, and like, I quit SDCW. I quit GAW, but only after I begged for my pay for 3 months. I bought an editor to do SECW. I went $1,500 in the hole. I waited for cash. I begged Marquez, and GAW seemed like it was going right down the same road.
I gotta say, and I'm sorry to interrupt. Like Ace, I'm gonna kind of put this to you. Like to me, it seems, and Larry, if you want to chime in, like Marquez is a name that comes up, but nobody seems to really have anything. Like, it seems like Marquez is not getting the brunt of any of this. And I wonder why that is. Why is Marquez not held to account for any of this that's gone on?
Well, we had Paul Adams on the show several weeks ago, and he was very diplomatic, to say the least, in his comments regarding David Marquez. And, you know, Doug, I was curious from your perspective and your dealings with David Marquez. You've already said that you were paid for only the very beginning of the shooting there and then never got paid after that. Is that correct?
I got paid for, I think total, I was paid $600. And that would have covered about a month and a half of shoots and edits. That's 300 for a month of editing and then another 300. So I got paid for a month of editing and three shoots, if you want to look at it that way, you know, if you want to break it down.
I'll tell you from my
a bit in the hole.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you from my conversation with Marquez after all of this happened, after the show was off the air, and at the point in time where Great American had announced that they were getting the TV time slot and that they were going to tape on the 17th at the National Guard Army, he said that his issue with you only pertained to payment for the final taping, and that you're saying that's completely untrue.
No, that is a bald-faced lie. I don't care who hears it. I don't care if Marquez hears it. I feel about like Marquez as Ace does Lash. He is a human waste of shit. He really is. If I could get a hold of him, I would.
Wow.
I don't care to be screwed over. I don't care to be made a fool of. But don't lie to me. He absolutely played everybody he could get a hold of, and I don't mind anybody knowing.
Wow. I want to direct it to you for just a second. Now, you know, you're speaking only for yourself, but it's kind of been brought up a couple of times. Like, the boys really hung in there in spite of all this shit. That's the impression that I'm getting. I mean, they really hung in there and kind of did everything that was required of them, kind of went above and beyond. What was the morale like? Were the wrestlers just unaware of all of this stuff going on? Did they know that they were kind of in a shit storm and decided to stick it out anyway? Like, what is your feeling of why? And I'm not blaming them. I think that's very professional of the wrestlers. Why did you guys stick through all of this when you knew it was kind of going bad and Chris Lash was not treating you very well?
Steve, I'm afraid great question, but we lost him. He's gone. Hopefully he'll pop back up here, but we lost him. I wanted to go back to you, Doug, for just for a second.
Yes.
There's been some discussion about, well, let me back up and clarify the cast of characters here. The name Troy has come up several times. We should clarify that Troy Lowe is Chris Lash's partner, or at least was at the beginning, and I believe still is, in Great American Wrestling. And Troy was responsible for a lot of the story writing. Troy has a comic book background and also is a belt-making background. But there has been a lot of discussion about this open that Brian Logan shot for Great American and the white wall that showed prominently in the open. What is up with that? I mean, was that necessary? Could that have been avoided, that huge white wall?
Well, anybody who's held the camera, you know, that's the one thing that when I walked in, now mind you, I had shot wrestling before, but not on any regular basis. When I walked in, Troy looked at me, and one of the first things he said to me, keep it under the black curtain. I'm like, fine. You know, as long as you can get me up high enough, I'll keep it. Now, as far as Logan goes and shooting the white wall, you know, they may not have gotten him up high enough to get the right perspective and keep the wall out of it.
Okay.
I don't know. I wasn't there. It just looks bad. I mean, it really does. It takes away from kind of the arena feel of it. You know how you want the ring bright and the audience dark. Well, when you shoot that white wall, it just kind of cheapens it. It takes away that feel of being in a wrestling arena. And I honestly don't know. I've never experienced Chris Lash. Now, maybe it's because I'm close enough to get my hands around this. I don't know. But he's never done that to me, so I can't speak for that side of him. He may have called Logan and said, look, take out the white wall. Well, can you CG it out? Well, hell no. Can you put something on top of it? No. And you know what? Chris should have listened to that, because I'm sure Logan knows just enough to where he can say, look, if I put this up and the wrestler goes up high, he's going to go under the background. And that's going to look stupid. So, yeah, you don't want to shoot any of that extraneous crap, because it just looks bad more than anything. I mean, there's nothing technical about it. It doesn't screw up the shot. It just looks cheap.
And that's something that he did talk about, because he was saying that they didn't have the equipment to get him high enough. So I'm curious, when you were there, what was the support like? I mean, did you find that you were running into problems with people that they weren't getting you what you needed, or was it pretty smooth sailing?
Who are you talking to? Me?
To you. Yep.
Oh, no, I wasn't there. I never went.
All right.
That's why I can't speak for how Chris acted. You know, I can't speak for, you know, I only know what Holly's told me and what Chris has told me. And to be honest, you know, like I said, I don't know Chris that well. I'm not going to take his word at face value. But Holly, on the other hand, I will.
And in fairness to Logan here and Chris Lash, of course, you were shooting at the Civic Auditorium Ballroom, a completely different animal than shooting that National Guard Armory.
Oh yeah.
So you didn't face those same things that they did. And I'm sure you had other issues, but not those particular issues with the white wall in the National Guard Armory situation.
Well, 9 times out of 10, I was on the floor. And so in order not to shoot over the black curtain on the audience side, it was kind of hard. And sometimes you can't avoid it. And that's why, you know, if they couldn't get Brian up high enough to get the right perspective on the ring, then, you know, you got no choice. You got to shoot over the wall to get the wrestlers in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to see the video, and I've got a feeling that's not going to happen.
So if I could just shift over a little bit to where we are now with Great American running on Fox 43, but really showing the Ohio Valley Wrestling Show with local wraparounds.
Right.
What do you think of how that's working or not working?
Well, it's, you know, because it was such an explosion right there, you know, on Tuesday. Before this whole thing, you know, before this whole thing went crazy with me quitting and them trying to find an editor. See, I had been told that they had found an editor a long time ago, and that I had misunderstood the conversation. But anyway, when that happened, and then Logan refused to give up the tapes, they had to, and I guess for the lack of a better term, jump through their own assholes to get something on the air. And, you know, Cornette's been involved with this kind of heavily through the beginning. And, you know, he was going to bring OVW guys down anyway for GAW tapings. And so Cornette came up with this idea, and we thought, well, you know, you got to put something on the air. So we shot real quick wraparounds, and we took the previous week's show. In the future, now Shane Williams is going to make his debut this coming weekend. He's wrestled his matchup at OVW. And over the next little while, as soon as we find somewhere to have local house shows, then it's going to kind of, you know, OVW guys come down here, GAW guys go up. I think that they're wanting to take the Bullets and Bam Bam and Shane. Those are the only three names that I've heard so far. And, you know, they're going to intersperse Great American Wrestling with OVW more and more as time goes on. But right now they're concentrating on trying to find somewhere in Knoxville to have house shows.
If GAW shoots in Knoxville, will you be involved in the shoot?
No.
Okay.
Right now I edit the OVW show, the GAW show with the wraparounds. We shoot the wraps at Fox 43, along with the wraps for Tennessee Wrestling Memories. You know, I do that because I'm an employee of Fox 43. Now I've started bringing OVW home, and it's going to be a completely freelance project where, you know, I'm getting kind of back in the same boat as I was with Marquez. And hopefully, you know, Chris will follow through with what he's told me he will. If he doesn't, then it's just going to be the same situation. We're really hoping, and I'm really hoping because I love the wrestling thing. And I love dealing with the wrestling, you know, with wrestling and wrestling. The kick in the butt is I thought that the wrestlers were going to be the hardest guys to deal with because of what I thought was ego. And, you know, I haven't met one yet that is just not an awesome person.
Ain't that that is really the way it goes, you know.
the promoters. Whew. And now Terry Landell is – you know, Terry Landell's starting to raise stinks in town. He, I think Aces, but you're wrestling the 21st over at Harley in Knoxville.
He's gone. He did not come back.
Oh, he's gone.
Not on the, he's not.
Well, Landale's already started calling, you know, Harley Davidson Raising Cane. I always thought the wrestlers were going to be the hard ones to deal with, but you know, they have been the easiest part of this whole travesty.
Well, you know, Doug, I'm so glad we put you on. It was very illuminating. I think I now, who was a complete outsider to all this, I feel like I have a well-rounded picture of what happened, and I really can't thank you enough for being on. We need to move on, but Ace Rockwell, though he was, I mean, I really appreciate you coming on.
No, it was my pleasure. Like I said, I don't know who I'm talking to at the moment, but I sent you guys examples of what we've done for Great American Wrestling, and if you can get a hold of the open that Brian Logan cut for GAW, then you'll understand the frustration and why I wanted to come on.
We'll probably throw that up on the website now that you mention it, because I did. I don't remember who sent me the link to the GAW opening that Brian Logan did, and it's really bad. I described it to somebody else as it reminded me of the wrestling that I grew up watching, the really tiny promotions, but even worse.
Yeah.
And taking into account that was, you know, 35 years ago, and it really had that kind of look about it in the worst way.
It was an I don't give a shit thing. I mean, he cut it last minute. He didn't care what he was cutting. I'm not going to say that he's not talented enough, because I've seen some of the weird crap that he puts on Logan TV, whatever it is. He can shoot, and he's got a creative mind. That was an I don't give a shit promo. And if it were me, I would have fired him. I wouldn't have given him the opportunity to quit. That was just absolutely horrible.
Oof. Well, thank you again. I appreciate you coming on. Larry, after all of that, Larry, what is your quick thought about all of that we heard tonight in the last 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, the main thing I have is an emotional reaction that what a shame, something that could have been really good, both SCCW and JW. Neither one came to fruition as much of anything. Certainly SCCW crashed and burned, and JAW, maybe they'll get something going here down the road, but thus far, I mean, it never even made it to air, and all those workers going up there and putting in all that time that night trying to make something happen, and nothing came out of it.
Yeah. I mean, Ace Rockwell, when he had messaged me earlier, he just described it as too many chiefs, not enough Indians. And I think even more than that, I think it's too many chiefs that really seemed like they spent a lot of time sort of pointing fingers at one another instead of somebody really grabbing the lapels of this thing and making it go. That's the impression that I get.
I tell you one question, and I would like to – it's one I have not asked Chris Lash, and one I would like to ask is, was there an opportunity to move the time frame back and start a couple weeks later on Fox 43 so that they'd have more time to get their ducks in a row and wouldn't have had to shoot 6 hours in that first time and had more time to prepare those shows for television? Seems like that would have made a difference, but I don't know the answer to that, but that's one that's come to mind as we've been talking about this tonight.
Well, after all of that, I don't know about you guys, but I am ready for a bit of a break. I believe we have a segment, a brand new segment for Lost Promos involving personality and WWE Hall of Famer Mr. T.
Arbor Day, Bastille Day, Boxing Day, Remembrance Day, Canadian Thanksgiving.
It is now time for Holiday Memories with Mr. T.
Shut up, fool. It's Mr. T's time to talk about his favorite holiday memories. The calendar has turned to February, and with it, images of angels and hearts and arrows and Valentine's And Mr. T has only ever had one true Valentine in his life, and that was my mother. I never had the time to spend with my mother on Valentine's Day like I would choose, because my mother worked so hard to take care of us and put food on the table. I remember Valentine's, 1993. My mother, she was working at a White Castle high in the Rocky Mountains. And one night, Holly Race and Big Van Vader, they came into the White Castle, and they challenged my mother to a strap match, Vader style. Hornswoggle was there. He rallied all of the other White Castle employees together, and they chanted against my mother, Vader, 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 they cried. But my mother did not blink. She did not fret, because as her hair rose golden from her head, just like the flames on the grill did, my mother put the strap around her wrist, and she pulled, and she pulled, and she pulled, and the weight of Van Vader was not enough to bring my mother down, and the strap broke in two. My mother was not scared by Holly Race's permanent. My mother was not intimidated by a white man named Leon. My mother was strong, and that is Mr. T's favorite Valentine's Day memory. Thank you. Join me again for St. Patrick's Day.
Harley Race is permanent. Wow. Wow, wow. Only on Tipping Point, Mr. T's holiday memories. And believe it or not, at the end of the show, Eric Embry is still doing the tour, still going around looking at different movies. Yes. However, I promised for Valentine's Day we'd have perhaps a wrestling couple. And Hulk Hogan and Macho Man will be singing a duet to close the show for Valentine's Day. So that's something definitely to look forward to. But speaking of looking forward to, I am, you know, normally when I come into town, when I come back to Georgia, it's to come to a big PCW event. Or the last time I came, it was to see the changing of the guard from Franklin Dove to Charles Anschutz at Anarchy. But I am coming this Saturday to DSCW. I haven't been to a show of Big Woods in probably 3 or 4 years, but I am going because I want to see LaFisto against Miss Rachel. I'm sorry that we're not going to have LaFisto, but is Sue Young on the line, Larry?
I'm sorry to say she is not.
She is not yet? That's all right. No. That's all right. Because I just want to sort of set this up, and then I want to have a conversation with Miss Rachel. So Saturday is Valentine's Day, and Wood is having a big show for DSCW. What town is the show in? Do you remember, Rachel?
I want to say that it's in Blue Ridge. I'm at my computer, and I'm going to look at it right this second to make sure.
Yes, I know you can. You just have to go to gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com, and it's like I'm sure it's there in the upcoming events. Got to be.
Nicely done. There's other big matches. I know Marvelous Marco will be taking on Brian Kane in another one of the big matches that are there, and Shane Marks is going to be there, and I'm looking forward to that show. And Rachel doesn't have a lot of matches under her belt, but the matches that she has had lately have been huge. It's Sacred Ground. You wrestled Sue Young, who hopefully will be getting on here later on. I got to ask you, Rachel, so you're going to be wrestling LaFisto. LaFisto, I'm going to set it up. She was the number 5 woman on the PWI Top 50 Women in the World. I went back and I found the issue. And sure enough, she's number 5. Her and cheerleader Melissa were basically the 2 highest ranked that weren't, you know, WWE affiliated or TNA affiliated. Certainly, it's the biggest match of your career. And be honest, do you feel like you're ready for this match? Because it's pretty huge.
You know, I feel like I am ready. Shane and I have been working really hard, been in every weekend. We're going to be in again Friday working in the ring. I mean, honestly, I have the best wrestler in Georgia who's coaching me and training me. I don't care if he was nominated or not this year. He is the best wrestler in Georgia. And, you know, I don't have that many matches under my belt, and I certainly haven't even been wrestling a fraction of the time that LeFisto has, but working with Shane, I'm getting to kind of get in there and try different things, figure out ways to kind of get around the out-wrestling part, and like I said, I'm just going to beat her face in.
So, something I love about LeFisto is she used to be, Larry, I don't know how familiar you are with LeFisto, but she used to be something of a comedy act. You know, they called her like the hardcore anime and all of that kind of stuff. And she kind of played it up cutesy. Then when she had to come back, she had a rather debilitating illness and was one of the people who was up for most inspirational and all of that kind of stuff because she came back from this illness. And, I mean, woof, the matches that I watch with her lately are completely different. Real rough and tumble stuff. I mean, she's using the burning hammer as a finisher, which
nice.
I don't know if Rachel's familiar. Can you describe a burning hammer for Rachel and our audience, Larry?
Well, it's like a back, it's like a rack and dropping the person right on their head like it was an inverted Death Valley driver, if memory serves me correctly.
That's exactly right. Remember, this is taking us back just a little bit. Remember in Rampage when the Concrete Gorillas made their debut? Didn't they do a double burning hammer? That was their finisher?
I believe that's correct. And
it scared the living crap out of me. not to rattle Rachel, but I mean, that's a big move. And
yes,
Rachel, what are you going to have in your arsenal against LeFisto? What are you going to use to put her away?
Well, you know, one of the big things is that it is kind of the inverted Death Valley driver. So Shane has been a great person to work counters with that since he does a DVD for his finisher.
That's true.
Aside from that, I believe it was a stroke that she had that she had come back from. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's very rough and tumble. And, I mean, I think the main thing is just that she's going to have to definitely keep up with me. I'm younger. I don't have the experience, but I think, you know, that I didn't have that same kind of downtime and having to come back from that. She's going to have to really, you know, work with the young people this weekend.
That's awesome. Larry, I have one more question for you in regards to this. So on the 14th, I'm going to be there witnessing the match, and I'm going to get a chance to sit down with LeFisto and record an interview. What's a question you would want to ask LeFisto on your behalf?
Oh, wow. She's been in the ring with so many of the great women, you know, great women on the independent scene. I just want her to talk about that. The ones she really admires, respects, the ones that have given her the best matches. I'd like to know her just basic views on the independent women's scene.
That I'll definitely ask that. Something that's interesting in regards to women's wrestling is TNA, I think starting Thursday, maybe even tomorrow, they're doing a series of tapings at Universal here in Orlando again. And they have it blocked out, get this, six hours a day for at least 4 days in a row. So they're trying to knock out, I mean, if they're doing Impact tapings, which I assume they're doing, that's got to be like 4 or 5 months worth of Impacts that they're going to record in one huge shot. I mean, Rachel, after the 14th, I'm going to put this to Rachel. So you've got NXT here in Orlando. You've got, I think Raw and SmackDown are in Florida. Is that correct?
That
in
is correct.
Coming up. So right after you wrestle LeFisto, you're coming to Florida. Now, you don't really have an agenda. Obviously, if you could get on, because you've done a number of stints recently on Raw and SmackDown, being a Rosebud, mm-hmm. and all of that kind of stuff. the scene in Florida, as particularly this week and this weekend, so vibrant. What's a goal that you have in 2015? Like, what's something really concrete and finite that you would love to happen or like to see happen?
Honestly, I would like to find my way to NXT, you know, get my foot in the door, do more of the WWE tapings, and just wedge myself in there until I get it. I think that would be really the big goal.
I am something that I, you know, I was trying, when LaFisto couldn't get on, I immediately sort of got on the phone. I wanted to have a woman wrestler, and I was hoping it would be Sue Young, but I also contacted Leva Bates. And I don't know, Larry and Rachel, if you've kept up with this, but at the NXT tapings here in Florida, they've been using Leva Bates, and they call her Blue Pants because she wears she has to wear the same gear every time. And she gets a pop as big as anybody. Like, apparently at one of the tapings, the pop for her rivaled that of, like, Sami Zayn. So just because she's local and, you know, like, everybody loves Leva, you know what I mean? And they actually let her go over at, like, an NXT event. They had her go over one of the NXT girls. And
wow.
When I asked her, you know, if she could be on, she's like, I would love to be on, but the next week or two, I'm booked solid. I mean, I suspect, you know, she's going to be part of, like, Raw and SmackDown stuff and all of that. And, Leva is somebody who I wanted to get into PCW for a long time. We had sort of arranged, oh, maybe she could do one of the Friday night shows at Academy Theater when Dragon Con was in town, you know, because she's the, like, a cosplay is her gimmick, and just was never able to do it. So the last two Sacred Grounds, I brought her in. You never got a chance to wrestle Leva, is that right, Rachel? You never
wrestled her,
right?
That's correct.
And is it, if I'm just going to put this question out to you, because normally you don't get to talk as much as me and Larry because we're very verbose.
I was just going to say loudmouth. That's a lot nicer way to put it.
give me three women you would love to wrestle anywhere. I mean, we're talking TNA, we're talking WWE, we're talking indie scene, Georgia, wherever. Give me three people you would love to wrestle.
Leva actually is one of them that when I think about this, she's definitely one that comes up. And you had sent out about her being an outsider to NXT, and I thought that was really funny because it was nerdy, and I thought she would enjoy that. So hopefully she gets to hear that. For those who don't know, The Outsiders is a title for DC, so I thought that was right up in her alley.
Yeah.
two other women. Since I normally manage, this is something I only think about every so often. Natalia, I think, would definitely be one. She's
Ooh.
Got a great history, great lineage and training, obviously. So she's definitely one. And I'm going to actually go with another WWE person, say Alicia Fox. I think she's pretty phenomenal as well. So I think both of those would be opponents that I could get a lot out of.
I gotta agree about Alicia Fox. She's somebody who I saw at NXT all the time. They kind of threw her back in NXT for a while, and then brought her back with the, like, crazy broad gimmick. And she had great, great matches in NXT. Larry, I gotta ask you, where are you going to be this weekend? Are you going to be at Anarchy or? Where are you gonna
be? I think I've gotten enough shit for not going for the last one that I'll be at Anarchy.
is that all it takes? Do I have to do we gotta abuse you, Larry? Do we gotta go the Charles and shoot route? And if I abuse you enough, it's like a Rihanna Chris Brown thing. If I abuse you enough, you're gonna actually like me just a little bit more deep down.
Steve, it's wrestling. You can't be too nice to people because then they, you know, they don't like you if you're too nice.
It may be my only chance to go to Anarchy for a while, and I do want to go there. So, yes, that's where I'll be.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I'm sorry Sue Young didn't appear, but next week Davy Richards is going to be here. He's going to
Steve, could I interrupt for just a second? We did get Chris Lash has called in and requested to come on and respond to what's been said about him on this show.
Oh, hell yeah. Introduce him, please.
All right.
Please, Larry. Yes, yes, sir.
We're joined now by the promoter of Great American Wrestling in Knoxville, Tennessee. Chris Lash is on the line. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, thanks, guys, and thanks, Larry. I figured you'd probably be interviewing the ring crew that was a Great American Wrestling, so I figured, you know, I'd come on before they came on to talk about the show.
Well, I mean, I know you heard a lot of what Doug Wood said. I gather you did not hear what Ace Rockwell said in the opening moments. Is that correct?
No, I apologize for that. I didn't hear what was said.
Well, he pretty much said you're a piece of shit is kind of what he said. I mean, really.
Well, you know what's amazing about that is that I did hear the comment about too many Chiefs, not enough Indians. Let's talk about, you know, what I think I'm guilty of that show. One, you know, trusting people and listening to them put over people that I shouldn't have hired. And two, having someone write a show that wasn't qualified to write a show and it was rewritten entirely by, you know, one of the true great minds and Dr. Tom Pritchard, and three, you know, taping basically six episodes, which we shouldn't have never done. Again, I made the mistake of listening to Brian Logan and other people that that's the way it should be done because he had a busy schedule. And I just want to emphasize that from the time that Fox 43 said that the time slot is yours, we like what you put together, you know, we had like 3.5 weeks to turn this all around. And if, you know, you go back and read Larry's review of the show and what we did to make the armory a pretty big space look good, I thought we did a pretty good job from that aspect. But, you know, certainly got the wrong people involved. And you know, I feel bad about that. Now, as far as Ace goes, I mean, if a guy can judge me as a piece of shit when I've spent a total of maybe 2 minutes with him, that's pretty good. He must be trained. Because I can't even tell you, you know, much about him at all, other than we wanted to bring in some fresh faces. And, you know, again, I heard some good things about these guys. I have no idea what he said. I have no idea anything about him, and nor does he know me. So what did he say?
Well, Bill basically said you were a guy who had some money and that you were willing to spend it on wrestling and that gave you the right to yell at people and that you were yelling at people at the show. That was, you know, kind of the basic of what he was saying, I believe.
Well, first off, I've been doing this for almost 20 years off and on. You know, this Knoxville thing about anybody that's a promoter is automatically A, number one, a money mark is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. These guys need to spend time getting trained. They need to spend time learning how to do promos. They need to spend time working for some good organizations and, you know, quit the soap opera stuff that continues up here, which apparently goes beyond workers. It goes into production people and so on. It's just amazing to me how cluttered and what a mess this place has become in 20 years since, you know, Smoky Mountain Wrestling left town. It's amazing to me. There's no other place in the country that behaves like these people do around Knoxville.
Well, you know, you and Dave Marquez have something in common because he said basically the same thing. He'd never seen anything
well,
like it.
I didn't hear what, you know, what Dave had to say, you know, but if that's what he said, I have to agree with it. And I'm not talking about, you know, the Ernest T. Basses that are running around here causing everybody an issue and spouting off. I'm talking about just everybody, you know. So when does a promoter become a promoter? When do people start saying, well, this guy's a money mart? I've been doing this for 20 years, you know. Do I have the right to yell? Yes. Do I have the right to try to get you to come out of a locker room after I've said three times, come to Gorilla? Absolutely. And if it wasn't me, and if Dr. Tom would have been running the room, they would have been yelled at 10 times as bad. So what the heck, guys? Get in position, go out and wrestle. So that makes me a piece of crap because, A, I'm running the promotion and I'm in charge of it. B, it is all my money. C, I've done this for 20 years.
One question that I posed before you came on here, did you have the option of giving yourself a little more time and starting on Fox a couple weeks later?
Well, not really, because Fox wanted a show, you know, as soon as possible. They did not want, you know, too much of a gap. They wanted a little bit of time to be able to turn around and come from the Southeastern name into the Great American Wrestling name, but, you know, certainly felt a little bit of pressure there to get, you know, a show turned around, you know, just as fast as we could. Now,
okay.
could I have geared back up again and said, well, we lost that because Logan stole the stuff? Come on, guys. I mean, he has a history of this. He's stolen people's entire careers on video and not giving them back. Beyond that, the fight, the cursing, the disagreeing, the threatening to sue each other, the who has more money, none of that matters. The fact is, he shot the show. He was paid to shoot the show. He didn't give the footage back. Didn't to try to convince him to do this. He chose not to do it. Beyond that, what does it matter what was said after he stole and said he wouldn't give the footage back? Nothing else mattered.
Chris, this is Stephen Platinum talking.
Yeah.
Is Brian Logan the guy that you probably have the number one beef with? Is that the guy? I mean, when you mentioned people who were brought up to you that you were told could do the job, who basically let you and everybody else down? Are you talking about Brian Logan, or are there other names as well?
No, it's definitely him first and foremost. And I have to say that when I met Brian and we met with the Fox folks, he absolutely blew us away. And I don't impress easily anymore. I mean, I was blown away. I thought we were in great hands. And if he did say to me, and there certainly was a lot going on, and I have radio stations that I run in my regular business and so on, if he said and emphasized to me about getting scaffolding, boy, I sure missed it. When I hire a crew, whether it was a crew that we had in Orlando or crews that I had in Pennsylvania when I promoted there, the fact of the matter is, when I hire you, get yourself up in the air to shoot the shot. He said, we looked into the camera and so did the Fox people. Yeah, at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, never in a million years did I think he'd shoot up in the air. Every camera he shot up in the air. Did I ask him, can you get rid of the white? Sure. Come on, guys. Yeah. We go to the movies. We watch movies and special effects. Oh, I didn't know. Maybe it can be removed. I thought I'd ask.
At this point, Chris, like, obviously, number one thing is Brian should give you guys the footage. That's the number one thing. Is there a
if you
step
listen,
two?
You know, I actually went to Doug Wood and asked him at the TV station. I mean, you know, I said, does he own the copyright? And he said, no, he doesn't. So, you know, and then I talked to Jim Cornette, and Jim's comeback was great. And it was like, you know, after seeing what I saw on the promo, that footage is about worth what his website is. Go ahead and let him air it. You know what I mean? So when I hire somebody and I'm impressed by them, I don't think that they're going to screw it up as badly as he did. You saw the promo, guys. Nothing more needs said.
what's the next step for you, Chris? Are you going to continue to try to get something going, or what's your next step?
Well, one of the big things that, you know, we talked about when we came to town, and I know that I believe that, you know, Dave Marquez probably even said these words and thought the same thing, was, you know, was finding the right talent that we could put on TV, that if they weren't trained for television, we quickly could change them to TV and teach them hard camera and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, in working with Dr. Tom and with Jim Cornette, you know, talent was the number one thing. Were we going to continue to find, you know, men and women that we can work with that we think we can get up to speed? So that was always a major concern. When Jim came to me with what I think was a brilliant idea, at least, you know, in the beginning, was let's run OVW, because compared to what we've seen, whether it was Southeastern or whether it was what Brian Logan shot, you know, OVW is going to look like it should win an Oscar award compared to the television that we've had here so far. So I love the idea. We know the talent in OVW is rock solid. We know that they're trained, you know, for television because they shoot it every week.
And that's absolutely been what's happened. So as we run house shows involving OVW guys and local guys, and I heard the short list, and it is a short list. You know, we're trying to find, the best guys that we can here locally, you know, to put on for television that can compete in the ring with the OVW guys who are very, very well trained in both TV and in the ring with work rate. So the answer is, as Doug put it, yes, it's going to keep getting more local. Yes, we're going to shoot matches at our house shows. Those will become involved. Tom and myself and Jim and Shane Williams have done a tremendous job of shooting the wraparounds. More guys will be going with us to Louisville every 2 weeks. So they're going to get that training on television, you know, provided by a good production crew and Jim Cornette himself, for that matter. So I think it's a win-win all the way around. And, you know, again, as we do house shows, we shoot more local, continue to do stuff in the studio, I think it's going to be the best wrestling show here since Smoky Mountain, for that matter, at least on television.
You know, I got to just on a pure, sorry Rachel, I'll let you get next. One thing, this is not so much a question as a statement, but one thing I was excited about was because the Washington Bullets, those are my guys. Like, I trained them. Mm-hmm. They'd done PCW for years, and I was so excited for them when they went up there and knocked it out of the park, you know. Like, they really showed what they can do, and I know they're on that sort of short list of guys that will work with OVW. And I mean, I was just, I guess this story intrigued me so much because it broke my heart, because I know the Bullets were excited to go up there and then they performed very well. And then to have all this sort of muckety muck happen, it was just frustrating. I know from your end, of course, it was 100 times more frustrating, but it was really frustrating to sort of witness all that stuff happen or not happen, you know, when you had guys like the Bullets who really performed very well and then nobody got to see it, basically.
And exactly. And you know, we like those guys a lot. And, you know, I got to spend time with them in Orlando too. And you know, no doubt about it, great athletes. And Dr. Tom certainly likes those guys and wanted to have the opportunity. And I think that we will. You know, we're just, you know, 3 weeks into this, we're you know, finally like a week ahead with the television station and getting everything together. And I think that once again, as we do these house shows, that, you know, they'll be on that short list of guys that can, you know, come in and we know, you know, we'll do a great job on TV. So
now, earlier, there were some complaints about, like, there were 3 different scripts or people were given the wrong address, general disorganization, and you had mentioned that there were people that had been recommended to you that didn't live up to what they were supposed to do. So, I mean, was that actually an issue? And if it was, how do you plan on fixing it going forward?
Repeat the beginning of your question, Rachel. It chopped off on me. I didn't hear the first part.
Oh, sorry. There were complaints about there being 3 different versions of the script and only 2 of them available to the wrestlers. People given the wrong address, kind of that disorganization.
Well, again, there was only 2 versions of the script. So, you know, that's the fact of it. And when we had a production meeting earlier in that day, and Brian Logan, Dr. Tom, myself, Troy Lowe, and I think that was it that was involved with it, and decided to rewrite it. I mean, you know, Tom sat down for hours with a pencil and a pencil sharpener, which I haven't even seen for years, an electric pencil sharpener, and redid this in a format similar to, of course, what he has a ton of experience in, and that is, you know, Florida Championship Wrestling, Monday Night Raw, same type of a format. So he redid that. Now, what happened was apparently the old script was hanging up in the locker room. So at the end, when there was a, you know, a run-in that shouldn't have happened, you know, it was based on this old script. So, you know, I've done a lot of shows. It wasn't the mess that everybody has made it out to be. Was it too long? Absolutely. Was it a disaster? No. I mean, I've seen a ton of disaster shows and promoted disaster shows in my lifetime. And I didn't feel that that was, you know, really one of them. If the guys would come out on time, I'm begging, then we could have gone over the stuff. And for the most part, 90% of them did.
Well, Chris, I'm so glad you called in, actually. I think there's a nice we got to hear from everybody, and you got to have the last word, and I think that was only appropriate, and got to really kind of round things out and clarify stuff. I appreciate you coming on, and we'd love to have you again sometime, definitely. We've already run overtime, but, you know, obviously you calling in was a big deal, and we wanted to get you on. So thank you for coming on.
I really appreciate that, and I'm sorry I was, you know, came in the middle of your other segment because I think that you guys were ready to move on. But, you know, I really, really appreciate the time.
Well, thank you, Chris Lash. Just as a reminder, next week we're going to have Davey Richards on, who's going to talk about TNA, and they've moved to Destination America, and the numbers are going up and up and up every week. So this is a new lease on life for TNA, hopefully. They're doing a series of tapings at Orlando, at Universal Studios. This Saturday, Miss Rachel will take on LaFisto, and I will be there, and I will interview LaFisto for a taping next week. So Davey Richards, LaFisto next week. And for Larry Goodman, Miss Rachel, I am Stephen Platinum. But it is close to Valentine's Day, so we have one last treat for everybody.
Killer Ken Resnick here for the World Wrestling Federation. Up next, a special treat, fans. The Mega Powers teaching us all about, what's that? The power of love.
Over. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. Production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. See LouisvilleWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more.
Boring.
As always,
no.
Thank you for your continued support.
Oh, I think that's the most I've ever heard the phrase pieces of shit thrown out on the air.
Only on Tipping Point.
Oh, only on Tipping Point.